All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. December the 8th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We're about a third of the way, I would say. At least a third of the way till Christmas. Yeah, I've shared before, Christmas is a little stressful. What I'm finding is Christmas is stressful in October and November. Once we get into December and we're starting to get into it and I see things are starting to pan out, right? I guess my stress is like a lot of everybody's stress. We always want to find the right gift to give to your family and friends. But it's starting to work out. Luckily, my wife sort of takes care of that now. And we're at that stage with our kids where they just sort of send us a list, right? They text it to us, right? Or email us their list. And we've set boundaries as far as what we are wanting to spend this year. And so the kids know that. And so they're sending all of their ideas in, and my wife's being able to get the things. And so it'll be a great Christmas. Reasonable, but it'll be great. As we get closer, I start to get a little bit more excited. And in fact, we're going to go get our tree this week, which is exciting. Start getting into the spirit a little bit more. A little more decorating. I got to pull the decorations out all the way to the 8th. And we're starting just now to decorate. I see people have had their decorations up a long time, which is great. We just have not. And that's probably my fault. But it is what it is. I am working today. It's been a busy, busy week. I had my dad over last night. My wife and I were talking as my dad gets older, I worry, or I don't worry about it, but I'm going to really be bummed out the day we lose that guy. Cause he is just, my father and I have had an interesting relationship. I've shared a lot about it. People have yelled at me for, my relationship. They haven't yelled at me, but the fact is that I think with any son and his father over time, the relationship is always interesting. But to see our relationship sort of come full circle, when my mom passed, we started doing a lot more with my father, having him over, and him and I would bump heads a lot. And, we just dug up the past. My dad loves to think about the past, which, most people would, right? I think as a person that gets sober, and one of the things we learn is that we don't need to live in the past anymore, right? It's over. It's over. It's in the past. Hopefully we've made our amends. Whether it's through just living an amends or, speaking to someone and clearly making an amends with my father and with my mother, I think the speaking amends had happened quite a bit. I'd always apologize. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But to actually get sober and to have a living amends, right? I think they'd heard enough of me saying sorry. They just wanted to see some actions. And luckily, I've been able to give that to both my parents. When my mom passed, I was definitely sober. Super grateful for that, right? But now with my father, him and I bumped heads a lot in the beginning. But over time, he's totally chilled out. Our relationship is a lot better. And I was thinking, we were talking last night, I was thinking maybe that was just my dad, how he was grieving my mom, right? My dad was never an emotional guy. I don't think I've ever seen a tear roll down my dad's face. Maybe it was that. I don't know. But for some reason, our relationship is just really, really good. He came over last night and had dinner, and we sat on the couch and watched TV. We watched Pat McAfee and the news, and it's just great. I'm just so grateful that I'm getting to experience this version of my father and I's relationship. It's all because I got sober, right? And he tells me, I'm listening. I listen to the things that you tell me, Tommy. Because my dad never grew up around the words humility and that kind of stuff, that AA, he calls it that AA stuff. So we've both sort of found a place where we can kind of exist and have a great relationship. And luckily my dad's doing really well. He's super healthy. for an 86-year-old guy, right? He still is driving his car and doing his thing. But, yeah, I'm just really grateful. I couldn't imagine what that life would be like without having him around.
She got it from the Bible, and he passed it on to me like granddaddy's rifle. Raised me up like sweet corn, created a disciple. Yeah, I fought it like hell, hell, he became a rival. Yeah, I tried to be different, tried to go against the grain. Didn't make no difference, I just ended up the same. I've never known better, yeah. 'Cause every bone's tethered. You wanna change my name, gotta drain my blood. Goddamn, I am my father's son. Just to get out of his shadow, and he'd send me a 20 just to get back on the saddle. I put up a good fight, but I didn't win a battle. I guess a tree don't grow very far from the
Damn, that's a great song. Stephen Wilson Jr. I've never heard of this guy. I heard another song that he did. I think I heard it on Instagram, and it's called 1994. And I wanted to use that song today, but then I heard this song last night. I was like, oh, my God. That's the story of my life, you know, growing up. I try to think about, you know, what was my, where did I go off the tracks? And you know, I think about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that may have been it. And then, oh, yeah, that might have been it. And, you know, one of the challenges I had as a teenager was I wanted to have long hair. You know, I grew up in the 80s, right, with rock and roll, right, and metal and hair bands. And I always wanted to have long hair. The chicks liked long hair. Everybody wanted long hair. And for some reason, my hair grew out super long and full, and I just loved having long hair. And so that was my father and I's, besides the fact of the smoking pot and all that other bullshit, my hair was a problem. And that my father and I would battle over hair. And it was weird because my dad didn't really care that I had long hair. My mom hated it. But the one thing about long hair back in the 80s is that if you had long hair, you could not get a job. It's not like today. Today they'll take anybody. I mean, we go over to this, I think it's like, I don't know, whatever it is, one of these restaurants and eat, and there's guys in there with just ponytails, right? Just hanging out. No hairnet, no anything. Just a big giant ponytail. And I'm thinking, my God, when I was a kid, man, I had to have that hair up in a hat with a hairnet. I used to undercut the bottom of my hair so that when everything was shoved in a hat, it sort of looked like I didn't have long hair. But man, I had trouble getting a job. And my parents would be like, did you get a job? And I'd be like, I didn't get a job. I think I might get a job. And it was horrible. And so, you know, I think about how that was and just the smoking pot. And it was really tough growing up as a kid, especially disappointing your parents as much as we did. I always thought I was a nice guy, good kid, right? But just these couple of points in our lives really were a sticking spot, right? And so our relationship has always been rough. And so for now, for us to have this, you know, this time together has been really great. And to be around his grandkids and it's just awesome. So great song. Check that guy out, Stephen Wilson Jr. He's put out some cool stuff. I wanted to read this thing out of As Bill Sees It, and it's page 189, and it's called Experimenters. And it says, we agnostic liked AA all right, and were quick to say that it had done miracles. But we recoiled from the meditation and prayer as obstinately as a scientist who refused to perform a certain experiment, lest it proved his pet theory wrong. When we finally did experiment, an unexpected result followed. We felt different. In fact, we knew different. And so we were sold on meditation and prayer. And that, we have found, can happen to anybody who tries. It has been well said that almost the only scoffers at prayer are those who never tried it enough. You know, prayer, meditation, God, higher power, those are always some sticking points, I think, for a few people. I think it was a sticking point for me, only because, and I've shared this before, I had searched high and low early on in my life for a relationship with God. I had prayed. I tried praying. I remember people speaking in tongues, me trying that. How fascinating that the Lord could come through you in tongues, right? Very fascinating. Always wanted that to always happen. And so, you know, but it never happened, right? I never had any sort of success having a relationship with God because it turns out that what I was looking for, I had all the wrong reasons behind it, right? I always, my relationship with God, the search for God's relationship was always to get something. You know, what can you give me, God? And God never answered, and unfortunately, I never received it. Or fortunately, I don't know. I never received any of the things. And even if I had, I was so had my head so far up my ass, I don't know if I would even recognize it, right? Did I have the humility to recognize? Because I always believed that anything bad was bad, and anything good was good. And turns out that's not the case. And some of the toughest things that ever happened to me, turns out they were probably good, right? You know, getting busted when I was in San Diego, going to jail, all that stuff at time was bad. But when I look back at it, it was good, right? I don't know where I would be today if those certain things might not have happened. And I maybe wouldn't have led me to Delaware and to sort of get me to where I got, where I just turned to alcohol 100%, and it really began that slide down to the bottom. And so when, getting sober, right, and being sober for a while and working a program, and I remember even in that first 4 or 5 years of going to meetings and working with a sponsor, never really understanding the relationship with God and a higher power. And to a point where I just like the reading, I sort of scoffed at it and didn't find it to be that important, because in my mind, what was most important is that I wasn't drinking. And not drinking is clearly important, right? You have to stop drinking to at least get on the path to wherever it's going to take you, right? And so I was sort of cool with that. And I've shared there's some events that happened in my life, and, you know, I just eventually I got to this point where I was powerless and had no other ideas. And so I tried to pray. And when I tried to pray, because someone explained to me, you can't, if you're going to pray, pray for nothing, right? Don't ask for anything. And that was my problem, because all of my prayer and meditation was, dear Lord, can you fix this? And dear Lord, give me this. And dear Lord, I want this. And if I just had this, my life would be better. Me, me, me. And that first prayer, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you, was the first time that I had relief from a prayer. First time. And I remember thinking, oh, you feel a little bit better, right? Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you. Brought me relief, right? And so I started to experiment with prayer, right, and meditation. And I would lay in bed at night, and, you know, my prayer, I used to always say, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. We pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Right? That was my prayer. watch over us as we sleep. I mean, that's sort of asking, but, you know, if you have the time, right? Dear Lord, if you got the time, just keep an eye on us. And what's that even mean? I don't even know, right? I don't even know, but that was just the prayer that I used to say. But then I started laying in bed at night with my eyes closed, and I just started to think about what I was seeing, right? My eyes were closed. It was dark. It was gray. And I started to use that prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And I swear to God, the darkness would start to fade. And I think all of us, I would imagine most of us have laid in bed and just sort of thought about what we're thinking and different things. But this was the first time I actually made a move, said a prayer, recognized that I'm not the most important person, and put it out there, and all of a sudden, this like veil of fear, and I know this sounds weird, it may be, but the point is, it says in there, we have to experiment with this stuff, right? We have to try to figure it out. And so I started to lay in bed at night, and I would wonder, why is it so dark? Why am I, you know, clearly it's in the dark, but how come I can't have visions? How come I can't, what's keeping me from this? And I started to say that prayer, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. And I would say it a few times, and this like veil of fear would just sort of lift up, and I could start to see blue skies, right? I could start to have visions of whatever, right? I could stand on a mountain looking over a hill, not a specific mountain or a specific hill, but just on a mountain, on a hill with trees, blue sky, sun. And I could see the fear starting to creep in the sides of this vision, right? But I would say, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And it would kind of push that fear back out, right? That self wants to creep in, or I don't know what, I just called it fear or self, whatever it is that stops me from having this cool vision. I would love to lay in bed, close my eyes and clear my mind and just go on a journey, right? Just go on a cool visual journey of wherever you want. So I've had it happen where I can sort of fly, right? I can be above things, right? I can imagine the sun so bright where I have to actually turn away from it in while my eyes are closed, right? I get these visions, and it's really, there's a balance. There is something that happens, whether it's conscience or God or whatever it is, that really takes place. You know, I wonder, like, I'll lay in bed and I'll hear, you know, I'll sort of talk to myself. I'd sort of go over things. And the voice in my head is the voice that I hear when I speak. It's almost like my voice. And I've always found that fascinating. And then I was wondering, like, is my conscience run on the electricity that my body creates, right? Like, if I die, does my conscience die? It's very strange, but I find that all very, very fascinating. So I like to experiment with it and just see, you know, what happens. And prayer, meditation is an amazing thing, but it's hard for someone to tell somebody else to try it, right? Because people were telling me to try it my whole life. Oh, you got to pray, you know, you got to have a relationship with the Lord. And I was trying, but I couldn't find it. But I wasn't ready, right? Because I was so consumed in self. And this was when I was young. I wouldn't expect anything differently. You know, I see kids that are, you know, super religious, right? And I just think, there's some parent or somebody behind that. I don't know how a kid at that age can have this true, humble relationship. If it happens, it happens. Good for them. I wasn't capable of it. I was too consumed in self as a child. So I don't think I can have a relationship, be able to experiment, understand how self and humility work and battle each other until I've decided to surrender, right? Until I sort of decided to give up on what I thought and just kind of be open to whatever came my way. And that prayer that day, you know, I've talked about it several times, got involved in a business, right? And the person that I got involved with the business, I don't want to say she used me, but it felt like it, right? And because this person didn't have what it took to get, didn't have the money to take, to get what we needed to get going to get this business open. And so I put the money forth and, you know, we got this place and we leased the spot and got the business up and running. And then this person just kind of went rogue on me and I couldn't do anything about it, right? I kind of, and I've shared this before, my motivation was greed, right? I wanted to start a business with this person doing something that I thought was going to make a lot of money. And I knew better, right? I knew this person was, I'm sure this person's a good person, but I think this person was maybe under the influence of some other things, right? Maybe Adderall or something like that. And not that that's always bad. Listen, teach his own, whatever. But I wasn't dealing with the person on a even playing field, right? And so it was very erratic. And, you know, we got to a point and I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't get out of it, right? Because I was part of it. My greed had taken me there. And I got to a place where there was nothing I could do. I was powerless and very, very mad. Right? I was very mad. My emotions were getting away from me. And it was either pray or drive my car through the building. Right? That's sort of where I was at. I was just so powerless and frustrated and pissed that it was either pray or drive my car through the building. And I prayed. And it brought me some relief. It didn't change anything. It didn't change anything, but what it showed me is that if I don't do something like that and self starts to talk to me and get pissed and lead me to do bad things, that's exactly what's going to happen. And so when I prayed, it relieved that. And I had to say it a few times, right? Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And it just eased the pain. And that was the first time I'm like, wow, this does work, right? This isn't about what can you do for me. It's, I can't believe I got myself into this, and I just need to say it out loud to you, Lord, and, you know, help me. You know, please don't let me drive my car through this building. I didn't ask for that, but that was what I was hoping for, and it brought me relief. And luckily, it all ended up, it turned out fine, right? That person ended up getting in trouble, right? Because the business was not being run correctly, and it sort of came around and bit this person in the ass. And I'm lucky, right? Because I could have, you know, I was part of that business, but, you know, I hadn't had anything to do with that business for a while. And so whatever, it was a lesson to be learned. You know, greed was a big deal, right? I could have been a victim to that. How come this person did this to me? No, Tom, you have to be accountable. It was about greed, making money, and so you did it. You went into it even though you knew inside, because I remember the whole time, I'm like, should I be doing this? This does not feel good. I'm not sure, but it's going to make us good money. You know, we want to make money, right? We want to be like the people around us that are doing really well. So the motivation was bad, and but, you know, the point of all that is that was my introduction to prayer and understanding this real self-centered side of me and this real humble part of me, right? The devil and the angel, right? And they do battle. And, you know, one of the things when I got sober, I didn't really understand what the point of meditation was. But what I've learned, at least for me in my little spiritual world, is that, you know, my higher power or my God, you know, my humility is very quiet. You know, I've shared this, you know, my self-centered side is very loud. It's like the loud guy at the party. Oh, shit, there's that guy, right? There's no mistaking where self is. There's no mistaking self's position. In fact, self is so loud. I've listened to self for so long, I sort of thought that's how life was. And what I've learned is that to hear my humble side, to hear God, to hear the voice of reason, the humility, is very quiet, right? I have to shut up and listen. And in fact, it's so subtle and silent and quiet, the humble side of me, that I have to meditate, right? I literally have to remove all of self's thoughts to allow the humble side of me to come out and try to listen to it. And so it's easy to hear self. I don't have to meditate or anything. I can just walk, and my mind's just constantly telling me all the things that self wants to do. And it takes the quiet meditation, the peace, to hear that humble side of me and to find, you know, hopefully the better path, right? the second opinion, right? Go on our second thought. And usually the second thought is the humble thought, right? First thought is, let's get into business with this crazy person, right? I couldn't hear the humble thought. I couldn't hear the voice that said, are you doing this because of money, right? Is your motivation greed? Is this healthy for you? Is this good in the end? I couldn't listen to any of that. All I could hear was, we going to make some money, and it bit me in the ass. And so that was the beginning of my relationship with prayer and my relationship with the higher power, which I had never, my relationship with God, because I'd never had one. And what I learned is I have to stop asking for things, right? That's not, at least for me, that's not what my God is for. My God is for hopefully a second thought, right? You know, my first thought is never, oh, let's not do that. That could cause us problems. My first thought is always how self wants it. And that's why they say in the program, go on your second thought, right? Never make a decision. If you're making a big decision, talk to a sponsor, especially, you know, in the beginning. I should have talked to a sponsor, right? I should have talked to a sponsor. I don't think I had a sponsor. Matt, my sponsor, had died. I was sort of sponsorless. And, you know, that would have been a thing I should have talked to a sponsor about. If Matt was alive and I went to Matt and said, this is what I'm doing, he would have said, fucking, you are stupid, run. But I didn't do that. You know, I went on the thought of self. And so, you know, when you come to a program, they say, go on your second thought. And it's huge. You know, restrain from pen and tongue. Don't answer right away. Don't go on your first answer. You know, it happens early on. One of the things that happened to me early on in getting sober is I started to actually have some sort of success, right? Started to actually not blow all my money on booze and drugs. Started to have a little money. Started to pay for things. Started to take care of myself. Started to relieve my parents of this financial burden that they'd been under since I was a kid. And I started to have a little money. And so I started to want things, right? And they say, talk to your sponsor before you buy anything, right? Any big purchases, talk to a sponsor. Because self is like, woohoo, we're out, let's go. And you know, that's why a sponsor becomes huge when early on, you know, you can say, listen, I'm thinking about buying, you know, a samurai sword for $10,000. And the guy and the sponsor's like, well, I don't know. Do you need a samurai sword, right? Will you be samuraiing somebody? Will you be cutting things up with this sword? Is it important? I tell you what, you want to buy the sword, that's fine, but why don't you talk to me in 2 days about it? And it's so funny because self doesn't have a lot of stamina. Self is very, very burst, right? You know, quick speed, but not a lot of self is the rabbit. Humility is the turtle, right? And so self comes up with these great ideas that are, you know, out of the blue, let's do it. And self expects you to react and follow through with it in that moment. But if you take a break, right, if you put a pause in it, self is like, oh, all right, I'm done, right? And the thought sort of fades. You know, I can't tell you how many things that I've thought I needed and restrained from purchasing it. And the next day thinking, God, I'm glad I didn't buy that, right? God, I'm glad I didn't do that. Because self is like, let's do it. But he can't hang in there long. You sure? Let's do it. Let's do it. Come on, we can do it. You're not going to do it? All right. Well, I'm going to go think of something else for us to get our ass in trouble with. So, you know, putting a pause in it, you know. But these are things, you know, that's to me is a relationship with a higher power, right? So I guess the other thing is just sort of redefining for me that relationship and what a higher power is. And I've said before, I'm starting to feel like a higher power is more just removal of all this self-centered bullshit, trying to make us a better person. And hopefully in the end, we do kind of live at a higher level, right? I have no problem pointing out that for a big portion of my life, I lived at a lower level, right? I was a problem, right? I was, I was something that you wouldn't want around, right? If you're going to, you know, create a team or something, I wouldn't be included because you couldn't rely on me. I would disappoint you. I would tell you one thing and do a different thing. I wasn't of value. And when I started to get sober and started to learn about these things, I started to become of value, right? I started to become value to people. And that's a big deal, right? And so I'm not sure a relationship with the higher power means, for me at least, is this relationship of, you know, as soon as I stopped drinking, I was a little bit of a higher power. And I don't mean like a god, but I just meant, you know, it's this higher level of living, right? You know, that guy talked about, you know, making contracts with ourselves and breaking them on a daily basis. You know, that is some lower level stuff. And when you can get up in the morning and tell yourself, we're not going to drink today, we're going to, you know, work our big book, work our steps, work with the sponsor, hit a meeting, we're going to put all this effort into not drinking today. And, you know, over a few times, people start to recognize that and people start to like invite you and include you and, you know, have conversations with you and, you know, put ideas to you and ask for, you know, ideas in return. And it's just, you know, it's another level, right? So I don't know if a higher power or God are the same thing, but I'm starting to feel like in my journey, they're really not, right? A higher power and God should be the same thing. So I'm starting to think that a higher power is just, you know, and when you start to live a better life, there's expectations of people that live better lives, right? And so it's just, it's interesting, right? It's all interesting stuff. And I, you know, I love it. And I like how it talks about experimenting. You know, if you are struggling with the relationship with the higher power, you know, take time and experiment with it, right? Try that prayer. My shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. You know, go on the second thought. That's another experiment. When you have an idea, something you want to do, you know, let's say you want to do something on Monday. Check back in on Wednesday and see where you are and see if there's a difference. Recognize it. Write that down, right? Wow. Pause. Didn't go on first thought and actually felt different about it 2 days later. Did not follow through with that initial thought, right? Experiment with it. Have fun. I think it's one of the greatest gifts of getting sober. All right, I went long. I'm sorry. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I hate being called Junior. No, I don't mind any longer. I've never known better. Cause every bone's tethered. You wanna change my name? Gotta drain my blood. Cause everything I am is everything. Father's son.